In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Just going to bring up the slides. So today's topic is about relationship with God. And it's based on a book that I read a number of years ago by an Anglican priest by the name of Nicky Gumbel. I'm going to open this in PowerPoint so it's easier. So give me one second. And he presents Christianity in very simple, easy to digest concepts. So it's a he. Yeah. Nicky Gumbel. And he has an interesting past. He was Jewish, of Jewish origin. And his parents were very well off living in the UK. And then he entered. He found out about Christianity late in his life, and he decided to join the priesthood in the Anglican Church in the UK, and first as a deacon, actually, and then as a priest. The author makes this point that relationships are exciting and important. Just show of hands, anyone disagree? Okay, so we all believe that relationships are important. Why? Why are relationships important? Don't make me do all the talking. No one disagreed, so either you were too lazy to put your hand up and disagree. If you still want to dispute it, so either tell me why they're not important or tell me why they are important. We're social beings, excellent. What else? Why are relationships important? Or if you feel that they're not, why are they not important? Why are relationships important?
Relationships are important.
They give us a sense of belonging, perhaps.
Yeah, a sense of belonging.
Very good. Some relationships are more important than others. And actually, there are some relationships which are, what's the right word? Like improper, there's proper and improper relationships. I'm talking about good relationships here. So I'm talking about, like, I'll give you some examples. Relationship with your parents and grandparents, brothers and sisters, extended family, cousins, husband or wife, your spouse, relationship with friends, Christian brethren, and neighbor. Friends, perhaps, I mean friends who are, you know, bringing you closer to God, not farther away. Christian brethren, neighbors, again, neighbors, whether they're of the same faith or not, we're all asked to be good with our neighbors, children and grandchildren. So I won't dwell too much on the point. I think you get it that relationships in general are important. So if relationships with each other are important, then there's also an important relationship that we each individually and collectively as human beings need to have with God, our Creator. And I love this picture. The Lord is standing, knocking at the door of my heart and of each of our hearts, and He wants to build a relationship with each of us. Yeah.
I was told recently that something about this picture, that there's no doorknob on the outside.
Yes.
So that we can allow Christ from the inside.
Yes. The reason there's no doorknob is He'll never force Himself on. He's not just going to open the door and come in without you welcoming Him in. He's meek and humble, and He gave us free will to start, and any gift that the Lord gives, He never takes away. So He gave us freedom to choose to open the door or not. It's your door, it's your heart, and if you don't want to open, He's not going to force His way in. So that's why there's no handle for Him to force His way in. But He wants genuinely to build a relationship with each one of us. And He's standing there knocking. Does anyone remember in the Bible any other mention of the word knocking? Any parables where, yes? There's a parable that's got 10, 5 are good and 5 didn't do so good. You know the parable of the 10 virgins? They were all waiting for the bridegroom to come. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. they were both virgins, so they were both, let's say, like all of us, they were both, in a spiritual sense, living in the church. It wasn't like five were bad, out doing drugs, and five were holy people. They were all good. But five made it, and five didn't make it. The five who made it were because they were prepared. They had, as you know, oil in their vessels. So they were building virtues. They weren't just satisfied to be born in the faith. I'm guaranteed entry. They were using their talents, their God-given talents to strengthen the relationship with God. But anyways, at the end of it, the five that didn't have any oil, they went to buy oil, and then they came back, and Christ had come, and the five wise ones entered with him, and the door was shut. And then they began to knock. But unfortunately, it was too late. So it's better if he knocks on my heart that I open to him, not just let it, you know, let life slip by. And then at the end, it'd be me who, God forbid, would be knocking once the door is shut. That's a side point. But he is knocking. He wants to build a relationship with each one of us. And we could ask him, why, Lord, are you bothering to knock on my door? Because there's a lovely part of the Gregorian liturgy where we hear Abuna say, you are not in need of my servitude. Rather, it is I who am in need of your lordship. Because most of the time when people knock on our doors, they want something. They want to sell you something or sign you up for something. He's knocking, but he has no need of anything from me. It is I who am in need of his lordship, yet he is the one who is knocking. And I ought to let him in willingly, because like you said, he's not going to force his way into my heart. I have to willingly let him into my heart. And if I do, then I can build and he can strengthen our relationship. Okay, so Jesus is knocking, wanting to build a relationship with each one of us. I want, this is going to be interactive, so please help me out. Give me some recipes or some elements of a successful relationship with your friends, with your parents. Yes. Trust, excellent. What else?
Maturity,
excellent. Trust, I don't know. Yes. I saw him. Yeah. Communications, excellent. Anything else? Honesty. One more, and then I'll... Love, yeah, excellent. So I think you've got everything that I had. So you have love, trust, honesty, communications, sacrifice. I mean, when we say love in this sense, we're talking about the deep meaning of love, which is sacrificial love. Not, I love a Big Mac or any of those other, you know, we don't have time to go into today. The Greek, the English word love comes from four different Greek words. And the highest form of love is the sacrificial love that God has for us and that we ought to mirror back, which is the Arabi most pure form of love, which includes sacrifice, patience, and of course, forgiveness, and God's presence. So for a successful relationship, that's why we don't believe in civil marriages. It's actually unfortunate that society starts to use sacramental words in a non-sacramental sense. So we don't believe that I could go to City Hall and get married to someone. We believe you could call that whatever you want, a civil union or whatever, but a marriage is a sacrament. So for a relationship such as marriage to be successful, you need God's presence. So all those characteristics are important, do you guys agree, are important for a successful relationship among each other and equally important for a relationship with God. So we have good news that Jesus loves us. I don't think anyone would argue about that. But also, he has all those characteristics that we talked about. Jesus loves each one of us. I'm sure that you all know that you can trust the Lord. He is honest, and he's not just honest. He is the truth. He's the source of truth. And he communicates. He communicates through the Word of God, through the Bible, and through the prayers. And he loves to hear you communicate with him as well. And he sacrificed himself for us. No one else in any religion could say their God sacrificed themselves for him. He's patient and long-suffering. And the proof is, how many of you guys have made a mistake in the last year? I have a group of perfectionists. Okay, so I have. How many of you have made a mistake in the last week? How many of you guys have made a mistake today? How many of us are still breathing? So that's proof that he's patient and long-suffering. He's not like, oh, I'm going to zap that guy because he sinned. He's the source of forgiveness. So the Lord genuinely is loving, caring, powerful, and able to save. So let's go back about relationship. Christianity is actually less about rules and rigid dogma than it is about relationships. And it's specifically about our Lord Jesus Christ. All of the Old Testament Judaism leading up to Christianity and all of Christianity from the Lord onwards is about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps in the Old Testament, it wasn't as clearly seen. It was seen more through symbols and prophecy. Now we have no excuse to say that Christianity is not about relationship because we saw our Lord come and what he did for all of us. It's more about the person than any philosophy or kind of idealism. Christianity about relationships with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, and with each other. As the Lord himself said, the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor. So how does God fit in again? So we were actually each created, and Adam and Eve were created, to live in a relationship with God. And without that, then we're going to have a void. There's going to be something missing in our life. And when there's something missing, we need to fill it. So sometimes we don't know what to fill it with. And we end up trying to fill it perhaps with bad things like drugs or power or alcohol. Or we said there's improper relationships. Perhaps I try to fill it with an improper relationship. Or perhaps with things that aren't necessarily bad, but I try to use it to fill a void that can only be filled with God. So I try to be ultra successful in life. Nothing wrong with that. I wish you all the best success or like the best in sports or music. You know, we were singing, there's nothing wrong with music, but I love music to the point that I don't care what the lyrics or the words. I love music because I want that to fill a void. And unfortunately, none of these can fill the void that is deep within us because we are all created in the image of God and we need God in our life. Even the closest proper relationships with each other, so say me and my children or my wife and I or me and my parents, even if I'm ultra tight with them, that's not a bad thing. That's a super good thing. But without God, there's still the void. So even those good things cannot fill the void, replacing the need for God to be in our life and have a relationship with us. So why or when or do we feel empty? So collectively as a human race, because we turned our back to God, then we feel empty. The Lord says he is the bread of life, and of course, that has many deep meanings, and we take it also in a mystical and physical sense that he is the bread of life that we take in communion. But he is also the only one who could fill that void and only that can quench our deep thirst and hunger to fill that emptiness. He is the one, the only one that can fill our need. Okay? So individually, collectively and individually, we feel empty when we turn away from God, when we separate ourselves from God. He's always there knocking. So he's not going to stop knocking as long as I'm still breathing. He's knocking and he wants to enter into a deeper and deeper relationship. And how he fills the emptiness? Three main ways. He gives my life meaning. He satisfies my need. I said, I keep messing up on a daily basis. Many of you said you haven't made a mistake so far this year. So statistically speaking, your time is coming. So watch out for them. But for me, the more I sin, the more I have a hunger to be forgiven, and he satisfies that hunger as well. And he gives me life beyond death. So many other ideologies that people follow will lead them to be great people here on earth. But they're missing that, okay, you're only going to be here on earth. I don't know what life expectancy here is, but 80 years, maybe 120 years. And then that's it. But the Lord says, no, here is just the start and it continues forever. So he satisfies my hunger for a meaning, purpose, my hunger for forgiveness, and my hunger for life after death. This can't just be it. It can't end here. I'm not going to go into those in detail, but I want to also say that the Lord also gives me freedom from fear, from sin, from guilt, from slavery. But all this freedom, I ought to use it to strengthen and build my relationship with him. He doesn't give me freedom. He does give me freedom, but he's hoping that I'll use that freedom to open the door and let him in, not use that freedom to bar up the door and nail it shut so that he can't come in. But I'm free. I'm free to choose. So just summarizing real quick, not only he gives us meaning, purpose, forgiveness, eternal life, freedom, but he also gives us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us as Christians to transform us. Now is the question that each of us has to answer individually. He's giving us freely all those gifts. Do I accept? If I'm giving you a gift, you don't have to accept it. He's giving each of us that gift. So each of us has to decide whether I'm going to accept and let the Lord in, or whether I say, maybe not right now. So please give me a few common reasons. I said excuses there, but common reasons people may say, I don't want those gifts, or I don't want it right now. What would?
Yeah. Pride? Excellent, yeah. I don't need God, basically, yeah.
Any other reason why people might reject God's gift or not want to open the door? No time. I have no time for God. I'm good. When I have time, later. Any other reasons? Okay, yeah, I'm good with what I'm doing. I don't want God to mess with my routine. Basically, I'm satisfied. I don't need anything, right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, what's the point? Yeah. That's a good one, yeah. It's like, I can't, where or why would I start? So the ones that I put down, I think you guys got pretty much everything. I have no need of God. That's one reason. Really, you have to ask, if that's what I'm thinking, I have to question myself. Or there's too much to give up. Or I think there's too much. Think if I come too close to God, I have to stop those things that I'm doing. And perhaps I do, but I'm focused more on those things as opposed to focusing on the love that he has for me and the glory that he's prepared for me. Some people think there's a trap. Like, okay, what does he want? Like, okay, does he want me? But I think you all know that there is no trap. The Lord is not. He has no need for my service. It's not the more I come and worship, the more God becomes great. He has no need for me to worship him. Some people think that I'm not good enough. Okay. But who is good enough? The Lord is good enough, and his love can overshadow any of my weakness. Something that they can't keep it up. I'm not going to come now. They're going to expect me to come every Friday night here. Just come once and take it from there. And it's very dangerous, the delaying, because as you saw in that parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 said, maybe later. And unfortunately, later didn't come for them. Okay? So we're all obviously called to accept God's gifts and to build a relationship. Now, how do I build or how do I strengthen that relationship with God? When I don't think many of you have children, but and Dr. Samir, of course, but those of you who don't have children were children at some point. And what do our parents teach us as children? When you give your child something, what do you teach them? To be thankful, to say thank you. When your child does something bad, what do you teach them? To say sorry. And when they want something, please. So those are the basics. So we are children of God, and we're still starting our journey. So those same three basics, saying sorry, saying thank you, and saying please, apply in our relationship as children of God. Yes? Okay, so we have with us Mark, and he has the symbols with him. So let's just take a pause from the talking, and just we're going to sing Have Mercy. That's our way of saying sorry, okay? We're saying sorry, but instead of just focusing on the negatives, we're turning it over to the Lord. We're saying, we know you're forgiving, so we're going to ask you to have mercy, okay? I don't have a good singing voice, so... I'll just start us off, but you finish it. Have mercy,
have mercy, have mercy upon us, O God the Father, O Creator, have mercy.
You're experts in saying sorry to God. Okay. So in addition to apologizing or asking for mercy, we are also always, if you were here with us and in every Ishbe prayer we start, in every liturgy we start with the Thanksgiving prayer. So we also are thankful to him. And we also have what are called litanies or our own individual prayers where we ask the Lord to help us. We are thankful to the Lord, to God the Father, who gave us his Son, who gives us his kingdom, and who gives us everything we have. We're also thankful to the Lord Christ for dying on our behalf, giving us his life so that we can have life, his blood, and everything he gives us from what is his. He took what is ours, the negatives, and he gave us all the glory that he only has. And we're thankful to the Holy Spirit who gave us himself to dwell in us. So building a relationship with God, sorry, thank you, please. Easy to remember because that's what we are taught as children. We just sometimes forget through our life. Now here's a question. The Lord is saying, okay, do you really love me? Who here loves the Lord? You guys are not interactive, or you guys are not. Okay. But he says, do you really love me? Because sometimes I say I love him, but I'm ignoring him like 98% of the day. Sometimes I purposely block him out. He tells me, if you love me, do you read about me? Do you seek to understand me? And why don't you talk to me while you talk to others? Why don't you run to see me while you run to see others? And why don't you listen to me talk about me. So because of all that, again, we go back and say, sorry, Lord, and teach us how to love you more. Because it's not possible to love him to the extent that he loved us, but we should always try to mirror his love for us. But there's good news. There's a question we could ask, how close, don't answer, how close are you to God from a scale of 0 to 10? Don't answer that. Because actually the answer to that is not important. That's the good news. It's not important how close you are to God today. What's more important is, are you willing to make an effort to come closer to God? And that's the question that we need to focus on. Does it matter if I'm starting the journey or if I'm midway through the journey or if I'm reached the status of sainthood? Am I willing to make an effort to come closer to God? And it doesn't ask, am I willing to come close to God? Because all 10 versions were willing to come close to God. It's asking, am I willing to make an effort to come close to God? That's the main question that I want to leave you with. It doesn't matter how close you are or how far you are from the Lord today. What matters is the bold question, am I willing to make an effort to come a little closer to God? Okay? And as I come closer to God, I could use those three tools, sorry, thank you, and please. Those help us in relationship with God. And of course, the same sorry, thank you, and please help us in relationships with each other. For some reason, as we grow older, even though it's implanted in our infancy and our childhood, the thank you, the please, and the sorry, as we get older, we sometimes, I don't know if it's my pride or what, but I have trouble saying sorry or admitting any mistake. Thank you perhaps is a little easier, and please is easier, but we sometimes need to focus a bit more on the sorry to each other and to God. That's all I had prepared. I'll pass these if anyone's interested, and I don't mind if you recycle these, but these are just a summary of today's notes, and they have three questions for you to answer in your own time. And like I said, feel free to keep it or not. And that's it, unless there's any questions. Thank you. There's Orbana here. If anyone wants, maybe we'll pass the basket. Help yourself. Sure.
I remember in one of the youth meeting, and I was talking about the remark that Mark made about the door does not have a knob from outside,
yes.
And Jesus does not force himself on people. And someone raised the hand and said, he sometimes does. And then they took the example of St. Paul. So why don't we just think about this?
That's an excellent point, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to make it clear for everyone, why would Jesus do what he did with Saul of Tarsus when he was on his way to Syria to kill the Christians, and Jesus appeared to him as like massive light, and then we know the story of his conversion. So that day, the person who asked the question said, like, this is an example where we see God forcing himself on people. So how would you answer this one?
Sorry?
He said that God knows the heart of everyone. That's good. But
God knew that he was truly seeking him, so in a way he wasn't forcing him, because like it's Saul that wanted to truly know God, and God saw that, and that's why he revealed himself to him.
He was on the way to kill Christians, but he genuinely believed that Christians were, or this sect or this way was like totally against God. And we know even in today's society, there's ones who kill Christians thinking that Christians are doing stuff that's against God. So in his heart, he thought he was helping God or doing the right thing. But of course, he was completely wrong. I'll let Dr. Samir finish because I don't know.
I think you said it right. Like in his heart, he was looking for the truth, right?
Yeah.
And then just God exactly wanted to show him that this is the truth.
Yeah.
But he was probably very honest about.
Yeah.
You know.
I have a similar question. If I have a child who is sick, and I give that child medicine, I'm not a doctor, so I don't really know what I'm talking about here, but say I give them vitamins, and I think they're taking their vitamins daily, and then I'm like, what? Their condition is worsening. So then I'm going to give them some stronger medication, right? And if they, God forbid, let's not do a child a friend. So the friend is getting even worse. So I'm going to give him even stronger medication. Because why? Because I'm giving him even more, say, bitter medicine. Like, I started giving them the sweet, like the chewy multivitamins that taste good. And now I'm giving them bitter medicine. Then they're not getting better. And they're my friend and I love them. So I'm going to shake them up. I'm going to give them some treatment like that's going to maybe be painful for them, but it's going to help them get better, right? So that's God still knocking. He's not forcing himself in, but he loves each one of us. And he knocks gently, and sometimes like he needs to shake the house a bit for me to wake up or for my family to wake up or whatever. So but he's not forcing himself. He's forcing himself on me would mean that he is going to turn me into a robot, right? Like he's forcing me to accept. We didn't sing it tonight, but there's a song, Lord, Reign in Me. So we're asking him to, you know, come, please, Lord, come, reign in my heart. But if he imposed himself and said, I'm going to rule over you, then it's like those either robots or we have no freedom anymore and we're just forced to enter the kingdom. It's not going to force us into the kingdom. No one up in heaven is going to say, I never wanted to come here. Like, why'd you force me in here? You gotta go willingly. Any other questions or comments?
I just wanted to comment from my experience with people when I talk to them about, like, exactly if you go to the second slide where you put the elements of successful relationship, and it has everything but God's presence, right? So, like, you know, people I deal with, you know, they have everything. They think they love and they are trust, honesty, communication, sacrifice, patience, forgiveness. But they don't have God present in their families. And things seem to be okay. And this is the society in which we live right now. Not every couple is a failure. They're, you know, good and successful relationship. The one thing I notice, and it's interesting, like, when there is, when things start to go south, and I talk to them about forgiveness, they look at me as if I'm speaking Chinese. Or one girl one day told me, "You're hurting me more by asking me to forgive those people who did bad to my life." And so they don't know anything about forgiveness, which become a crucial element, because without forgiveness, relationships are not gonna. So that's one thing that I really noticed in my practice.
Yeah, and forgiveness is almost impossible. It is impossible without God's grace. So, for someone who's outside of Christ to try and forgive, we need the Lord's help to forgive. If I went up and I punched Mark or I did something or I said something rudely in front of all of you, it's not easy for him to forgive. I know he would forgive. But if he did that to me, I would have a hard time forgiving. And it's, but only with the grace of God can we fulfill those things, especially in society. There's some pretty bad things that happen out there, and so it's not always easy, and it's impossible, I could say, to forgive without the Lord's grace, and without seeing the big picture in God's perspective.
Three elements of a relationship, the please, sorry, and thank you.
Thank you, and sorry, yeah.
Is there more to it? Like, I feel like those three are very simplified.
I think those are the basics, and everything comes from there. I think at the heart of it has to be love, and, like, those elements expand from there. But I think if we're wanting to deepen our relationship with the Lord, we could look at, you know, Do we say please to him about things that are only temporary, or do we? Sometimes, if I ask the Lord, please, Lord, send me a new iPhone. The new iPhone X is out, and I want that. Like that, that's fine. But then I'm like, I look up, and he came and he died for me to give me his kingdom. And here I'm trivializing by just asking. It's not bad to ask for success or help me in my studies or at work or in my exams. But it's also important when we're saying, please, Lord, to focus on, he did this massive thing for me in order for me to get this massive glory in heaven. Please, Lord, don't let me lose my prize and stuff like that. So that's please. Sorry, it's just like on the small or big things that we do. Like if I hurt my brother, I don't just say, Lord, have mercy and forgive me. I have to ask my brother to forgive me as well. So in that context, and then just being thankful for everything around us. Sometimes it's easy, like, get in work. They go, your work colleagues say, how are you going? Like, oh, okay, because it's a stressful environment. But we really have a lot to be thankful here. Look at the clean air we have. We have, you know, a reasonable government. Yeah, maybe there's things that could be better. We're free to come and worship. No one forced you here tonight. You're not forced to worship, but you're free to worship. We're free to express ourselves. So there's a lot we have to be thankful for here, and then there's a lot more we have to be thankful for what he's preparing for us. So yeah, there's a lot more to it for sure.
I think she looked at it, like, when you put it, I felt it's very simple. This is how I probably would, like, you know, present it to
kindergarten,
like, you know, say sorry, say please, and say thank you. And I agree with you. But at our level, we could, what I love about this is that they are very easy to remember. But at our level, we will interpret them differently. So sorry is just like the life of someone who has what we call a contrite heart. Like, I always feel like, you know, my sins are before my eyes, as we say in the psalm, right? So when you say please, this is it means you need something. So this is the prayer, the life of prayer, right? So you, when you ask God for something, that's a prayer, right? So it's a life of prayer. And then the third one, like as Michael said, like, you know, it's the life of being grateful and thankful. So and this is actually the life of saints. They have contrite hearts, very humble. They are connected with prayer all the time, and they are grateful for even the simple things that they have in life, but they are still very grateful. So you can interpret them as like, oh, that's like very childish, but you can also understand them as very deep. Make sense?
And Father Marcos, I think it was 2 weeks ago, was giving an example of thankfulness in his Sunday sermon. And he was saying he was serving, I think in the like Upper Egypt regions, and they were going to help the poor, and there's one elderly widow who went to her house, and he said, Mama, do you want anything? She goes, no, thank you, I have everything you need. And he looked around, and he's like, place is empty, things are in rough shape, and he's like, no, honestly, do you need anything? And he insisted, and she finally said, okay, if you really want to help, go down the street, turn right, and Namu so-and-so, he's in real need of help, please go help him. Like, she feels like she's not just fake basically saying, I'm thankful. She feels like God has given her everything she needs. She's reached that level. You were saying you had another point as well.
Forgiveness in different ways. So, like, we all say forgive and forget.
Yeah, but it's hard to forget.
I was wondering, like, what the church's stance on forgetting, like, how do you actually forget?
Yeah, different people have been given, like some of us, it's very easy to forget because we're naturally forgetful. So if someone hurts me, the Lord teaches me to forgive, but I naturally, within a week, I've forgotten. And on the flip side, if someone was very good with me, I'm thankful right there. And then I forget a week later that they were good. So some people have that. Some of us have better memories. So you can't force someone to forget the harm that was done to them. You could only ask the Lord's help to let go of the negative feelings. But you can't force yourself to forget if you weren't wired that way. You could try not to dwell on it. So if you hurt me, then, I could start telling, like, everyone, you see what she did to me and stuff like that, and I could, like, instead of trying to quench it, I'm, like, blowing air on the fire and trying to make it a bigger deal. Or instead of dealing with it, like, telling you honestly, you know what you did was very hurtful, and that's not easy to do either. So instead of addressing and saying, I'm not, I'm going to try and let it go, but it was hurtful. Like, if someone hurt you, they hurt you. And often I think in our society we focus too much on telling the person that was hurt, just let it go and forget, without really trying to empathize with what they went through. And without, the other side needs to also come to terms of what they've done. There was, I think it was with Pope Shenouda, someone was disrespectful to him, and I don't remember the details, but I heard it once. And then one of his close disciples were saying, Sayyidina, forgive so-and-so. And he said, forgive him for what? Because the person has not acknowledged that they did any wrong, right? So in his heart, he forgives them, but he was just trying to make a point, like, okay, someone is still dishonoring or discrediting me, and you want me to forgive them. Of course, from my heart, the Lord has asked me to forgive. I'll make a point to forgive. But the other side, too, I mean, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm talking about the ones in the church. Someone hurts you from outside, then what I'm talking about, it's not going to make sense to them. But as brothers and sisters, if we unwillingly or willingly hurt each other, then we have to deal with it on both sides. The person who hurt also has to, for their sake, not just for the sake of the relationship. If Dr. Samir and I had a tiff and I was rude with him, he might forgive me and he forgives me. But if he doesn't tell me that I was rude, he's not telling me just to pick on me. He's just telling me so that I'm aware, so that I can seek to be better. So it's for both sides. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to, yes, forgive, but we need to be aware when we've hurt people and also have the courage to say sorry. And the forget piece takes a lot of time and prayer in order to forget a wrong that has been done to us, especially when it's from someone who is close to us and in the faith. If it's from someone outside, then I could, what do I expect? But if it's from someone who is close and within, then it's harder to forget, and it's hard to forgive as well. But the Lord can help.
Forgetting is very hard, but if you ask, and if you ask in your prayer for God to explain to you or to show you something in regards to that so that you can feel at peace, He will, and He will show you like something that would explain to you. Like it happened to me once that for no reason, I like people and I love everyone and I feel that life is beautiful and everyone's nice. يعني كده من غير حاجة. بس بعدين someone did not see see me that way, and they were like, for no reason. I felt I did not understand, is it something that I did wrong, or I said something wrong, or I didn't explain myself well, or something. And it was like, I would not sleep at night because it kept on coming back, and I did not know, was it my mistake? Well, was it that person that was not understanding me correctly? And after a while of, later on, after a few years, I got to understand few things about life that made this, that I became in peace in this regard. So it may take longer, but then you would understand a lot more. You would not just understand, you would grow personally, and you would understand how to treat other in special situation. And maybe that person was just sick at that period. And there is a lot of things in life that we don't understand. So I find that forgetting now is a lot easier because of that situation, because I got to know that I cannot understand everything at every specific moment. So I have to give excuses to people without really knowing why.
Yeah. But at the same time, if you find yourself in a situation where you are being hurt by someone or harmed repeatedly, yes, you could forgive, but you could also... You don't need to leave yourself in a position of being hurt repeatedly. It's not just because we're Christian doesn't mean like Jan keeps punching me and I keep hanging around with Jan and he keeps punching me. I know Jan wouldn't do that, but then I'm just gonna stay away from Jan. Oh, okay, his sister might. Well, she probably deserves it, but that's different. I'm just kidding. No, but if you are close to someone, whether they're in church or out of church, and that person is being hurtful to you spiritually, physically, or whatever, then you don't stay in that proximity and allow yourself to be hurt. That's all I'm saying. Yes. And even within our church, there is sometimes personalities, there's sweet people, but we all have our quirks. So if you find that quirk of person A is messing up with quirk of yourself, you don't have to go and have tea with them on a regular basis. It's fine to avoid them. If it's like, if you're married to someone and you don't get along, then that's different. You have to work through that. But if you're in like a communal atmosphere and there's someone, every time you hang out with them, for some reason you feel like you said something wrong or they offended you, then there's no need to keep forcing yourself into that atmosphere. We've broadened a little bit from our topic, but this is excellent. Any other comments?
The fellowship. We thank you for teaching us tonight the basics of how to build a relationship with you and in you. And it's true that you want us to become like little kids, because only a little child knows that he can depend on himself or on herself. They will only for granted depend on their parents. Give us this contrite heart and give us the grace to always remember that without all the grateful things that you did for us, we would be very poor. Change our perspective so that we understand that the true gift is you, and that's the gift of salvation. And that's the gift of calling us to know your name, not the riches of the world. Bless this meeting. Bless the servants. Bless our fathers. Bless the youth who could not make it tonight. Through the intercession of our pure Virgin Mary and all the saints who pleased you since the beginning, Hear us when we pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven.